Good morning. It's 7:59. Yeah, it's almost 8 o'clock. A.M. Wednesday, August the 5th, 2020. Pretty sure. Yeah. Wednesday, August the 5th, 2020. 7:59 a.m. It's almost 8 instead of almost 7, so I'm about an hour later than normal because I slept in this morning, and had a big breakfast and spent too much time dubbing around on social media this morning, looking, reading, checking up. It's really, it's beginning to burn off a little bit. But when I came out, it was really, really, really cloudy. I'm seeing a lot of blue sky off to the south right now. And some holes in the clouds overhead. When I started, it was, well, you can tell from the picture, it was really dark off to the east. I think it might have rained or something last night. Everything is kind of soggy this morning. Ambient temperature 66 outside my back door. I was a little worried that it was... The wind was blowing and the breeze from... I had a window open. The breeze from the window was kind of chilly. I was kind of afraid it was going to be too cold this morning, but nope. No, woken up a sweat. So yeah, I think I got the last of the beta reader feedback. For those of you who want to be beta readers, I only sent it out to like 3 or 4 people this time. And because I have a really tight timeline on this. And I can't take a week to give books out and get books back. Get the feedback back. So I just gave it to 2 or 3 people. I think, actually 4. I think I gave it to 4 people. And I think I've got them all back. I have to check. I may be missing one. But the feedback is generally, yeah, cool. I was concerned about this story. One of the readers said he thought it was better than Cape Grace. I don't know about that. Anyway, I did have some touch up to do, particularly around continuity. So, for example, the chapter heading date was August, but the text was October. Yeah, continuity is going to be a problem with this. I can see right now, but. I had some other continuity issues where characters didn't appear to know what they should have known. Or if they did know, they didn't respond to it, didn't react to it in a believable way. So yeah, I fixed those. I hope I fixed them all. I'm pretty sure that I didn't, but perhaps I fixed enough of them. The problem is that as a writer, as an author, as the guy who put the words down, I have two pretty substantial problems that I have to deal with. The first is, or maybe it's three. Three problems that I need to do. I feel like I'm in a Monty Python sketch. The first is I'm the writer, and so I run a risk of thinking that something's on the page when it isn't. Because, of course, I put it on the page. Except, sometime later on, I will find out that, no, actually you didn't. Second is that I'm my own worst critic, and so I can always see the flaws. I can always see the line that could have been better. I can always see a paragraph that could have been tighter. I can always see something that should be different. And I've sort of trained myself to not let that hold me up. And the third problem is that I have no idea what the reader is going to bring to the table. So, that's a noisy truck. Okay, this lady's gonna walk in the street, I'll walk in the sidewalk. I recognize her. One of the regulars. So, I have no idea what the reader's gonna bring to the table, what they're gonna bring to the work. And they're gonna read the work in a context that's not the one that I wrote it in. Lord, nice traffic this morning. Good morning. Love her hair. She has the most gorgeous white hair. Short on sides, long on top. Very. Very striking. Anyway, so I don't know what the reader's going to bring. I'm half convinced that I don't know if I mentioned this yesterday, but I get a lot of talk about the endings. Sometimes they're too abrupt, like I was hurrying to get done with the book. And I appreciate that perspective. But the irony, is it irony? Maybe. I don't know. It's not sarcasm, so maybe it's irony. The irony is that the people who, the books that have been complained about the most in terms of abrupt endings are the books, there we go, that I was least concerned about timing. I was least concerned about how much time I'd spent on them. I'd least concerned about how much how long they were. There's only one book that I was really concerned about the length, and that was Owner's Share. And yeah, that got a lot of abuse for a whole bunch of reasons. But I kind of think that well, my ego says part of it is that they just want, those readers just want the book to continue. So they want more of the book. So the ending is too abrupt and they wanted more, which is cool. The other is, I'm beginning to come to the idea that perhaps I didn't read the story that I wrote. Or I didn't write the story that I think I wrote well enough. Get ready, say it with me. Long post. So that they expected that there was going to be more after the story that I wrote was over, or the story that I think I wrote was over. And I'm not pushing this off on, I'm not blaming readers here. I'm looking at this from a craft standpoint and trying to think, okay. Yes, my endings are, my endings tend to be, you know, I may have two or three sentences worth of denouement, the end, that's it. When the story's over, the book stops. And I've never been a fan of those people who write four or five chapters after the book is over, after the story's over. I've never been a fan of those stories. And so I'm really conscious of, okay, where's the story? Whose story is it? And where does it end? And Seth Godin is a good example. I had a reader, beta reader, who said, oh, the book is great, but the ending is terrible. And I'm like, okay, talk to me about the ending. What's bad with the ending? And he pointed out that there was no denouement. There was literally none. And he was right. There was no denouement. Denouement is the thing that happens when the author tells the reader it's okay to go home now, that the story is over. And it happens after the last major plot point. It happens, let's put it in Pixar terms, which isn't necessarily the best terms, but in Pixar storytelling, the first, for lack of a better term, the first beat is showing the world as it exists at the beginning of the story, showing the character in their natural state. And the last one is showing the character when the story is over. And in South Coast, I did not have that final chapter originally. Between Otto and his father walking on the beach. And being forced to look at that and think, okay, what would it look like? Yes, that's what it looked like. So pretty much all of them now have at least one chapter at the end, the final chapter. Sometimes there's more than one. And Finwell Bay, there's actually two. Showing the after, showing what happens when it's over. And I think part of the problem is that quite frequently I do the same thing that I used to do with math problems. I put down the answer and I don't quote show my work unquote. And so I think perhaps part of the problem is that there's this tendency that I have to say, okay, well, whatever, you know, what happens next is obvious. There's no reason for me to paint it out and, you know, paint by numbers to fill this thing out. It's like, this is clearly what happened because here's where we are. I think that's the issue. I'm pretty clear that what's on the page is the story. And readers frequently disagree with me, which is fine. Once I publish a book, it's not my book anymore anyway, it's yours. It's an interesting thought process. Mental exercise in storytelling is when is the story over? When is Otto's story done? When is Sarah's story done? Sarah's story on St. Cloud, Sarah's story was done in Cape Grace. That's it. That's not going to be any more Sarah in St. Cloud. I doubt very much that there's going to be any more Sarah in space. As far as I was concerned, Sarah was over in full share. That was it. But I still get story. I still got questions about, okay, when are we going to see Sarah again? And the answer is, what? The question always puzzles me. The question always stops my brain thinking, because I keep thinking, what? We may see her again. Morning. Why would we see her again? What's the story that you're looking for? It's like, well, what happened to her? Do you know what happened to her? And it's like, well, you know, it's like, I can only write so many stories of healing. Is there something I can say about Sarah's particular condition that warrants its own book? The Barbarian series is interesting to me because, one, it's the first time I've ever tried to write with somebody else, and that somebody is my daughter, so it's not probably the best exemplar of how that's going to work out, but the bottom line is the story came out pretty good. I'm really pleased with it. What the hell is this? Three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12 people all gathered in this gazebo. Track team or something? One of them's wearing a mask. COVID sharing track team? I don't know. So I get for sleeping in. I've seen a lot of people this morning. I've seen a lot more people out. It's funny that it's like coming out at 7:30 as opposed to 7 o'clock. Cross country team, I guess. There's three guys walking shoulder, running shoulder to shoulder. You gotta be kidding. At least put on a mask. I'm gonna walk around where they were because they've left a plume. Anyway. So, here I am, at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. With any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.